The whole verse says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which had been taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth, and with it he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then he said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. It's an amazing thing to gather in awareness of the presence of God, as we could have very appropriately this morning taken off our shoes. For this is holy ground. We could have very appropriately, without any sense of performance or pomp, we could have knelt before him in his presence. But it seemed okay just to stand in awe of him and allow the Holy Spirit room. Not in this building, but in our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you room. We give you room to speak. We give you room to shape. Sometimes the potter doesn't need to say anything. He just places his hand on the clay and forms and shapes. It's the presence of God that we live in. Last week we talked about an awareness of living in the presence of God. This week I want to continue talking about walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is living in an awareness, and an awareness and sensitivity to the presence of God. Walking in the Spirit, we read from Galatians, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit isn't just communication to God, it's communion with God. Throughout Scripture, the Old Testament on, there was always communication with God in prayer, speaking to God, even God speaking to people. But that's not what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is walking in communion with God. And so, like last week, we'll read again this week, and if you have your Bibles with you, Galatians 5. Tells us this, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not something that is worked up. It's a product. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. We talked about those things last week. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And last week, we talked about living in such a nearness and closeness to God that there's an overflowing of this love, joy, peace we talked about. But I'll tell you, this week I had so many reasons to be unloving, to have a lack of joy, and an absence of peace. I struggled with all three of those things, love, joy, peace. There was an anxiousness and a frustration. I just lived upset. Anybody ever relate to just, what's wrong? I don't know, nothing and everything. And just feeling so anxious. And I was reminded that what we said last week, that the fruit of the Spirit is not something that can be worked up. It's not something, it's not a work. It's not, oh, okay, I'm just going to choose to be more loving or more have more joy or have more peace. That's not what the focus even was last week or this week. It's walk in the Spirit and these things will be produced in you supernaturally, not a product of us just doing something. And yet I felt like I could somehow cultivate the ground of my life, the soil for fruit to be produced. And so So I made an investment of time, a time to come before the Lord in prayer, to worship, to read, and I just began to read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible, and I read and I read and I read, just to be immersed in Scripture, allowing it to wash over me. And there wasn't a moment where I really felt like I stopped in the pages of Scripture and I meditated on. There were certainly things that I highlighted and stood out to me, but it wasn't that kind of stop and receive. It was just wash over me. Sometimes when we go to God's Word and we open it and we just say, God, I need a word from you. And as we're reading, there's a phrase, there's a passage that just stands out, and it's like this cool, refreshing drink of water. That I was thirsty, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, the living God. God, I long to hear from you. And sometimes it's just like that cool drink of water where we're just parched and dry. But for me, it wasn't like that. It was more like I just wanted the word to wash over me and just keep washing. And I kept on reading. And have you ever been in the shower and you've just let the hot water just continue to run and just wash over you and wash over you and wash over you, and it's not that you're not clean yet, it's just that it's just so good, and the only thing that motivates you to get out is you're on a water meter. Well, and even that's not enough. It's when the water temperature changes. It's when all of a sudden it becomes cool and you think, okay, it's time to be out. But and that's what I felt like for me this week. It was just, I needed to let God's word wash over and wash over and wash over and wash over me. When we talk about drawing near to the Lord, walking in the Spirit, drawing near to the Lord in a closeness with Him, it's not just so ambiguous and vague we don't know what to do. Do this, pray, read, meditate, memorize, get in His word, come before Him in worship, and allow there to be a fruit. Allow there to be character that's produced and shaped in us. When we talk about being led by God's Spirit or God's Spirit being active in our lives, two things quite quickly come to mind. One has to do with capacity or capabilities, and the other has to do with character. Capabilities and capacities, that really is the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us to empower us, to enable us for service, to accompany the preaching of the gospel, to enable us to be capable of doing what He's called us to do, to preach the word, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to move mountains with gifts of faith, to see the gifts of faith, to see the unshakable kingdom of God come with unequaled power of God to bear in our world today. His kingdom come, His will be done. That is the empowering work, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we see the gifts in operation. But so there's a capacity and capability that He gives us when we talk about being near to God and walking with the Spirit. But there's also the character that's formed in us as we walk in the Spirit. See, spiritual gifts don't equal spiritual maturity. And a church can be very active in spiritual gifts, but not be very spiritual mature. This morning I read 1 Corinthians. Just in devotional time this morning before the Lord, and read about this church that was so spiritually active. But Paul continues to bring them to a place of, he wasn't saying don't use the gifts, he was saying don't misuse the gifts. You're missing the point of the gifts. And start to finish, read over and over these passages, it talks about this context and setting of love. That the church might be built up, that the church might be edified, that the church might be strengthened. So when we talk about an evidence that we're walking close with God, an evidence of His Spirit, it's not just the spiritual gifts, which means we're spiritually active and alive, but it's the character that's formed in us. And then last week, and I'll just review the three things, we talked about walking in the Spirit. As you're walking in the Spirit, there will be a love that shows up in your life, a love for people. That is, it's so much more than just, and I said last week, I feel a lot of love in this room. You know, a feeling, a warmth, it has to do with a commitment and a choice. We're loving people and valuing others, and we demonstrate. And we talked about joy, that joy not rooted in temporary things, but rooted in that our names are written in heaven, and that we get to rejoice because of that, about a love that God works in us for people, about a joy and about a peace that that we said that even though there's a storm all around us, there doesn't need to be a storm within us. There's a peace that passes understanding, able to guard our hearts and guard our minds. And those are something that are more than just the natural love, joy, and peace that we can experience. It's supernatural God working in our lives. Well, three more things I'd like to talk about this week, and I'm a little afraid to. About walking in the Spirit. They show up, and they aren't manufactured or created. They're a work of His Spirit. But I was challenged in love, joy, peace last week. I don't know that I want to talk about this next one. I don't have time for patience. I'll tell you that right now. There's a vast difference between waiting and possessing patience. Have you ever waited impatiently? Am I the only one? Have you ever waited impatiently? This traffic sign says you'll never get to work on time. Ha ha. Sometimes we wait impatiently and we really want to get going, and it's more of a frustration. But there's other times that we wait impatiently. We're just really excited about, you know, our Christmas banquet on the second Christmas. Going on a holiday or trip or being reunited with a loved one. There's lots of times where we wait impatiently, either frustrated or excited. But the patience that God's Word talks about in this passage, in Galatians chapter 5, it has more to do with long-suffering and being slow to anger. That's the patience that God wants to work in us. As we're walking close to Him, it has to do with when we're suffering. The ability to suffer long and to be very slow to anger. Here's another definition. Restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. This is the long-suffering that the Bible talks about, that the Holy Spirit works in us. As we walk close with Him in the midst of suffering, we're able to restrain ourselves or allow God's Spirit to bring restraint in the face of opposition when people are opposing us, when situations are opposing us, not even opposition, when there's oppression, we are able to suffer long. And it has everything to do with knowing who God is when we don't understand why we're suffering. We pray, and we confess, and we proclaim, and we declare, and we do all that we know to do, and sometimes we don't see the breakthrough we're looking for. And even in the midst of it, we are suffering. I'm not at all saying that God is the one who causes suffering. We live on a planet where there's lots of suffering, and we are not immune from it. It exists, and we're not immune, but when you're suffering, I don't know about you, but the last thing I want is patience. I want deliverance. That's what we want when we're suffering. We're not looking for more grace to continue in it. We're looking for deliverance. But a work of God's Spirit, as we walk with Him and are close with Him, He works in us and shapes us and forms us so we can get through it. We discover that it only comes from a nearness of being with God, that you can go through anything because you don't have to face it alone. You discover that God can restore in an instant what's been lost for years. And you don't discover that till the end. It's like the story of Joseph, who for years and years was betrayed and sold out and suffered in prison and was forgotten about all the things. And in an instant, he went from prison to power because the Lord stepped in. Just in a moment, there was a widow in the Old Testament who had to flee from her land. And when she returned, she came before the king, and she had discovered that everything that she had was gone, was in somebody else's control, somebody else had it. And the king restored to her in a moment everything that was lost. And it says this, from the day that she left until now, I want you to restore everything. And I love that God has the ability. When we're suffering and we're struggling and it's so long, we think, God, this is so much wasted time, that God in an instant can restore everything that was lost. He's that kind of God. He's got that kind of power. Patience is connected to time. And the trouble with that is that time is one of the most valuable possessions that we have. Time, we never know how much time we have. We saw that in the news last Sunday in Texas, that when the gunman went into the church, and our hearts were gripped as we watched on the news channels as the story unfolded. None of those people. Very similar today. Here we are in church. And the man broke in, and there's so much suffering there. We never know how much time we have. And once we spend the time, we can't get it back. But patience of the Holy Spirit working in us, it's trusting that God is bigger than the time we're losing. God is bigger than the time we're losing. Trusting that God is near in every moment of suffering, even when the suffering is long suffering. God's our deliverer. Sometimes he delivers us from things, and we really like that. But sometimes he delivers us through things, and that's where the long suffering comes in. God, surely we could have gone around this. And yet, we didn't, and we're suffering, and God is very near. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We can get through whatever the suffering is. We're never alone. The next thing is kindness. It's an amazing mark of the Christian character to be able to, in fact, to be able to suffer and still be kind. Then in the midst of suffering, what comes out? Is there still kindness? I really think that's a work of the Spirit in our lives. When we're suffering, when we're sleepy, when we're hungry, to still be kind. When we're rushed, when we're out of time. Have you ever noticed that people can be very unkind? People can be very mean for lots of reasons and have no idea. Sometimes when somebody's unkind to me, I have no idea what they're facing, what they're going through. And so I want to be very careful about responding. But have you ever noticed that you can be unkind? Well, maybe not you, but the person beside you, don't nod your head too much. this past Friday, I thought I was kind of through the rough patch of being challenged with love and joy and peace and really had met with the Lord and came to our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We walked through the book of Acts and prayed through the book of Acts and had such a marvelous time of prayer together. And by Friday morning, I thought things were okay. But you know, it snowed like crazy on Friday. And so I went out and shoveled our walk and then did the neighbors and came inside and was really in a rush to get here to shovel the walk and just didn't have much time. And Audrey said, "Can I make you breakfast?" And I said, "I don't have time." She said, "What about just some oatmeal?" I said, I don't have time. She said, it's the 5-minute stuff. I'll make you the 5-minute stuff and you can go." Okay. I said, "I don't have more than 5 minutes." She said, "Okay, I'll make it 5 minutes and you can go." So we sat at the table and she joined me. I don't even think that she was having any. She was watching me. And I said to her, "Oh, you know, there's some coffee left. You can have that." And she said, "Oh, no, why don't you just take that in a travel mug? You can have that." And I said, "You can have it. I left it for you." And she looked at me and said, "Pardon me?" And I said, "You'd better change your tone." And continued to eat. Busted. I had done something kind to leave some coffee for her, but I didn't express it in a kind way. And so much, I think, about the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, kindness has to do with our heart, not just the action. It's not just a random act of kindness. It has to come from our hearts that we would be those who... Paul talks about in Corinthians 13, if we're doing all the stuff that we do, if we're very spiritual and if we're very sacrificial and very generous, but we don't do it with love, then we're just making a lot of noise and it's not profitable. It's not deposited into our account. And it's a kindness. We would express kindness to people. And sometimes we have to do some things and say some things that are very difficult and sometimes they're very hurtful to other people. And we don't intend for it to be hurtful, but sometimes we have to make some hard decisions. Sometimes, as employers, letting people go, those kind of things. You're going through some tough decisions, but we can always do it with kindness. I love the scripture that talks about it's the kindness of God that draws us to repentance. It's the kindness of God and that leads us to repentance. And I wonder if there was more kindness evident in my life, if more people would be drawn to God. That I would reflect Him out of kindness. I wonder if instead of hate-filled picket signs or blanket statements of what we're against, we might sit across the table with someone and kindly show them how kind God is. Not compromising our message or our mission, but there are lots of ways to do things or say things that can be done in a very kind way. I watched someone be very kind a couple weeks ago, a kindness that wasn't appreciated. It was a flight attendant. I had to be very careful to get a British Airways, so there's no fighting here. It was a flight attendant. And I was on a flight, and I was pretty close to the front, and I had got on pretty early, and the flight attendant was standing at the door welcoming people in. And she'd say, "Good morning, good morning." And I thought, I'm just gonna watch this. And I watched the majority of the plane come on, "Good morning, good morning, good morning." I had a chance to talk to her after. I said, do you know how many people did not good morning you back? And she said, you know, it's usually about half. It's about half, and I get used to it. And what struck me was, something that struck me, I wanted to go to each person. Did you not know that she said good morning to you? Which wouldn't have been kind. I certainly wouldn't have done it in a kind way to tune them in. Just say good morning. But what struck me was how kind she was and how it came across with such sincerity. It wasn't the bye-bye now, bye-bye. There was a sincere good morning. Welcome. Nice to see you. And so many people didn't even respond. And I thought, here's a person who can, on behalf of an airline, express kindness, regardless of how it's received. How much more we who represent Christ can express kindness from a kind heart, regardless of how it's received. It's an evidence that I'm walking with God, that I'm walking with a kind God. The last thing we'll close with this morning. Quality that shows up in our lives as we grow closer to God. It's an amazing expression of who He is. It's goodness. Goodness. Goodness primarily isn't about being righteous. It's not that kind of goodness. It's not like good versus evil. Goodness isn't about being good. It's really about doing good. In this word goodness, there's a wholeness or a wholesomeness that it has to do with. When God created, let there be, and there was, it says he saw that it was good. We use words like stupendous and amazing and spectacular. God said it was good, and it has to do with whole and complete. The other thing that goodness has to do with, it has to do with generosity. Something that's reflected in our lives. When we're close to God, there's a generousness. That the goodness of God shows up in our generosity towards others. Especially, it's when you've been ministering out of a place of wholeness. You see brokenness in someone's life. You see brokenness in the world. And you minister out of a wholeness that you've been given that you pass along. That the Holy Spirit works in you. And there's some goodness that's expressed. Jesus, it tells us that he went about, it doesn't say he went about being good. Now you be good. It says that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, bringing wholeness, bringing life to those who were tormented and oppressed by the devil. And it says this is the close connection with God because God was with him. It's this overflow that happens of relationship, our closeness with God. Shows up in our generosity to others. We had Pastor Tyler from our Kimberley Church here this week. Their stuff's in one of the offices. They're in Costa Rica right now. A team from our Kimberly BC Church is in Costa Rica, and they stopped here to catch a flight. They're going to spend the night here next week as they come back. Their flight's late, and had a chance to pray with them in the foyer. And as I concluded the prayer, I just kind of looked up and smiled and said, "Now go do some good." And that's an overflow of the goodness of God. It shows up in we're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto them. And there's an overflow, our nearness with God. We find His goodness being expressed in our generosity. Go do some good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. May those things be evident in our lives. Three more, but you got to wait till next week. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to be those who walk closely near to you. Thank you that you've made that possible, that you have cleansed us as temples, that you come and you reside and you dwell within us. God, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that are operating in our lives. But God, we pray not only for a capacity, but we pray for our character to be shaped. And that because we walk in a nearness and a closeness with you, that we would be a people who are loving. That we are be a people who are joyful, that live in a peace that passes understanding, not as the world gives, but as you have given to us. God, that we would be able to have patience, long-suffering, even when we don't understand why the suffering is allowed or just so confused by it. God, may we remember and walk in the patience that you've given us, that you are with us, so we can get through anything. God, we pray for your kindness to show up in our lives, not just in our actions, deeds of random acts of kindness. God, may our hearts be kind. And so as we live our lives, there's a kindness about us that reflects and represents you well. And God, help us to be those who bring goodness, those who bring wholeness and wholesomeness to this world in which we live. God, help us to be generous givers to those in need, oh God, that we would be able to express your life and your love to those as your Holy Spirit works in us as we walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.